From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 20th day of July 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, Mark Russo will be here to discuss the agricultural weather forecast. Along the way, Todd Hubbs, ag economist from the University of Illinois, will discuss ethanol demand, current and future, and health. There are some differing views from two U.S. government agencies, EIA and USDA, and we'll also check in on the agricultural cash grain situation with the folks at the Andersons on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn in Chicago finished at $3.28 and a quarter today. That was down 4 3/4. December 3.35 3/4, 4 lower. And March down 3.5 at 3.46 1/4. May futures 2 3/4 lower. Settlement price there at 3.53 1/4. August soybeans up a nickel at 9.03. November new crop up 5 cents at $9. January futures at 9.04 1/4 and the beans up 5. And next year's July up 4 1/4 at 9.04 1/4. The bean oil futures up a penny at $29.93. The bean meal up 2.10 at $288.60. Wheat futures soft red September 5.22 down 12 3/4. The hard red September at 4.35 down 13 3/4 for the day. Live cattle futures in the August a dollar lower at $102.27 1/2. Feeders were off $1.10 at $141.60 in the lead August, and lean hogs for that August contract down $2.40 at $50.40. Crude oil 20 cents a barrel higher. Ethanol futures down 6 3/10 cents. Heating oil up a penny and 9 cents, and the wholesale price of gasoline at about $1.23, just about unchanged on the day. The natural gas down 8 9/10 cents at $1.62 9/10 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is around 50 points higher. The dollar is down 0.09, and the gold futures are $6.40 higher at $1,814.70. Now let's turn our attention to the marketplace. Kurt Kimmel is here. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Well, let me ask, what is it that happened over the weekend, and how did that play, if at all, into today's play and market in Chicago?
I don't know if there's really any real new news over the weekend. You know, still talking about the virus and maybe some of these states shutting down, which would slow some demand. Also, too, worldwide virus concerns will concern, you know, economy-wise. So it's going to be important to see some more additional stimulus packages come forward here. We'll see how that goes here over the next few weeks. But as a whole, as far as the ag commodities, it seems like north central Illinois went from extremely dry to extremely wet. You know, heavy rains last weekend during the week. We've got a situation where the drought monitor is probably going to catch up here in Illinois. Indiana had some fairly decent rains, hit and miss. Then, of course, Ohio is a hot spot. They've been missing the rains. Then also western Iowa seems to be a dry spot there. This afternoon's crop conditions report, the trade's dialed in to 68% of the corn crop, good to excellent, versus 69% a week ago. Bean conditions, 67% good to excellent versus 68% a week ago. Kind of look at the state breakdowns and what regions have improved or declined. So overall, talking to most producers, the crop looks fairly good. You know, a couple commented that typically this time of year we start to see maybe the corn start to fire, and it's fairly well green from head to toe for the most part. And most the producers are optimistic that maybe that yield might be at or above trend line expectations at the present time.
Are you feeling that'll be the case across the whole of the nation, and that in August we might see a number that's bigger than 178.5 that USDA has been using?
Well, that's a tough one. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to maybe see it maybe up slightly. We still have some holes out there or some problem areas, and how you average that all out, I guess we're going to we're fixing to find out here on that for the most part. But, you know, when you kind of sit back and listen to guys talk and look at what's going on through here, the crop's decent. It's not shrinking at the moment unless we run into August. Hot, dry weather in August is what's going to take to revert some traders to put some weather premium back into the marketplace. When you're 60-some percent good to excellent, and some of your bigger producing states, you know, over 70% good to excellent, you know, crops there, we're going to debate how big or how small that is as we move forward. But the other thing, too, is demand. You know, we saw some big corn sales to China last week, and now we're back down at the lower end of the trading range. That's been priced into the marketplace. Wheat took it on the chin pretty hard today. Just no real confirmation that China bought all those cargoes of soft red winter wheat. I think they did. I think it's one of those situations where the cash market fairly well priced that in. Now, the fact that we're not seeing additional business is giving the market a corrective type of tone. Spread activity, buying beans, selling corn, buying beans, selling wheat was kind of the main feature here as we went through the first day of the week.
The end of the bin is at hand for most producers, though there's more corn, it seems, on hand, I think, than usual. Are they very concerned about what they have left and what to do with it and whether they'll want to pay in charges for a second year if they actually have it stored at the grain elevator?
Yeah, that's a great question. That conversation has come up. It started here last week after we failed to move higher there right after the 4th of July. The sand glass with the time window is starting to close in on us as we move into August and through here. It's just a matter of cleaning out bins and deciding whether to pay that next in charge or not. For the most part, I have a feeling a lot of that grain is going to be moved here as we move into August. There's no real weather threat or concern versus holding it over.
Anything from the livestock side of the ledger?
I took it on the chin today, kind of back up. We have a cold storage report on Wednesday. We'll see where we are for our inventories. Restaurant demand still needs to pick up in through here to clean things up. If you're a buyer and you like those butterfly pork chops, keep an eye on those loins. Those wholesale price on loins down 73 cents a pound, and that's a fairly good buy. Hams are real cheap. The pork belly, even to retail level, they got them priced up, but the wholesale is about $1.86. Saw a little jump in cutout values and a little bit of movement. So as we start to enter this bacon and tomato season, make sure you get that booked.
All right, BLTs. Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
All right, take care.
That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. He joined us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Hey, Todd, thanks for being with us. You took a look at ethanol. This is one of the largest juice categories for corn this week. Trying to divine a little bit about what usage might look like in the pandemic age and how things differ from one governmental agency to the other. Tell me about the background first.
Yeah, I was just revisiting corn use for ethanol. You know, we had a few articles out before the lockdown really began and then during it. And since then, we've seen a pretty strong recovery in gas demand and in ethanol production, which is a good sign. But recently, with the uptick in coronavirus incidences in the South and West, and, you know, it's spreading all over the place, we've seen gasoline demand maybe start to level out and plateau, and ethanol production will probably follow that, barring a jump in exports, which is would be unforeseen at this point. And so I was trying to figure out, you know, where are we at compared to USDA's projections, and What can we maybe look forward to under this, severe economic uncertainty regarding the overall economy?
Let's start with USDA's projections. Where are we at compared to their projections?
Well, we were pretty close. They lowered them 50 million bushels, 50 million bushels in July to 4.95 billion. And if we kept up at the same pace that we've seen recently, we would come close to that, maybe a little bit short. And that sort of idea is maybe ethanol production leveling off at around 930,000 barrels a day for the remainder of the marketing year. Yeah, if gasoline demand flattens out or starts to decrease because people stay at home more, ethanol production will follow that down. And that can mean, additional loss of corn use. Right now, I think we're slightly below that 4.95, maybe 10 to 15 million bushels at recent convergence rates that we've seen in our last few months and the production levels we've seen. But it could get worse if this thing spreads and we see people driving less in these peak summer months. Now, when we look forward to the 2021 marketing year, USDA is at 5.2 billion bushels of use, which is about a 3% drop from what we would traditionally see in a marketing year. The Energy Information Agency came out with some projections in July and their short-term energy outlook. And based on their projections and recent conversion rates, they're about 100 million bushels below at 5.1 billion bushels corn use for ethanol, based on their ethanol production projections for the first three quarters of 21 and the fourth quarter of 20. And that's not insignificant. It's 100 million bushels. And if this thing goes south, if we see a huge recurrence in the fall, it'll get worse. So I think, we've seen a little bit of weakness in corn prices recently, even though we've seen stronger export numbers, which is a positive for sure. After the acreage report and some worry about the weather, a little bit of weather premium in the market, we've seen the weather turn. There's been some pretty good rain. There's still some issues in places in Iowa and Indiana and Ohio. But for the most part, it looks like the crop's going to be fine if the recent weather forecasts hold. And so we're at a place now where I think this demand issue for ethanol is starting to creep into the corn prices and some of the negativity we're seeing in some of the weather premium going out and worries about corn use for ethanol.
I would be amiss if I did not ask you about corn exports and the Chinese purchase last week. I think the fourth largest on record purchase of corn from the United States at any one point, and the Chinese largest purchase from the United States at any time in historical history here. What'd you make of that?
I was happy about it. What else can I say? It's good to see them buying corn. I know there was reports out of there that they were selling out of their government stocks, and maybe there were some issues with their government stocks quality-wise. They said there wasn't. Who knows what the truth is? That's probably not the truth based on a lot of the information that comes out of China. And this expanded buying is hopeful because if we can see China buy, 280 million bushels of corn, the USDA's projections for 2021 look pretty solid, particularly since, we see strong domestic corn prices in Brazil. Their second crop was a little bit smaller, and we're seeing some decent this marketing year sales for corn and next marketing year sales for corn, which sort of puts USDA's 2.15 million bushels in the frame of reference as possible, which I was a little bit skeptical of when they first came out with it. So if we can see this kind of buying moving forward, it's supportive. I think the issue for us now is all the economic uncertainty and what that might do to ethanol production. And I think that's what the market's really reflecting, despite the strong export numbers.
Hey, thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
That, of course, is Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. On this Monday, we're now joined by Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago to take a look at what's happening in the agricultural world of weather. Let's start here in the Midwest. Can you work your way across the Corn Belt from the west side to the east side and give me kind of your assessment of what's taking place and what we can expect over the next several days, and then we'll get further out?
Well, Todd, kind of the assessment here, first off, from a precipitation standpoint, is that it has been highly variable so far this month, in that some areas here have gotten good rains, including portions of Minnesota and portions of Illinois and even on into the eastern Corn Belt, like Indiana and Ohio. But then there's other areas that have missed out as well. A few pockets in Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan, and then also in like South Central Iowa too, have missed out on some of the thunderstorm complexes that have developed in recent weeks. So quite a bit of a variable situation. And then in terms of temperatures, really, you know, temperatures have been biased warmer than normal in recent weeks. We've seen some of the hottest temperatures of the summer so far just in, you know, recent days here. But all in all, it's been a, you know, warmer than normal July, combined with quite a bit of variability in soil moisture trends here, topsoil moisture trends in Western Belt and Eastern Belt.
Will those even out over the next several days with rainfall?
Not as much here as one would think here, Todd, looking ahead, not only this week, but even on the next week. It still looks like a variable precip pattern here coming up. So again, some of those dry pockets do have opportunities for improvement, but then they could also continue to miss out, as it looks like a, you know, kind of a hit or miss situation in terms of precip development, or, you know, the timing of when storms are developing and when they're weakening in relation to the driest area. So bottom line is that by month's end, we still feel it's going to be a variable situation here from a precip standpoint. As for temperatures, though, it does look like this warmer bias is also going to continue. And another round of above normal temperatures, not as much the next 5 days, but coming up this weekend into next week, that's the next window of more anomalous heat here in the Midwest.
Can I ask a bit about the above normal temperatures? Because my understanding is while it's above normal, the range has tightened up. So it's not that the highs are really well above normal. It's just that the 24-hour period with higher lows is driving up the average range.
Yeah, just the, in general here on the hottest days, you're talking about high temperatures across much of the Midwest in that mid to upper 90s. All the triple digit heat looks to really stay outside of the Corn Belt, with the exception of the, you know, western areas, western fringe, like in Nebraska and Kansas and that. But yeah, the most anomalous conditions will be felt in the overnight minimum temperatures, with basically upper 70s and even a few low 80s minimum temperatures, which, you know, that's over basically, you know, 10 degrees above what normal minimum temperatures are at this time of year.
Will humidity levels stay high?
They will, yeah. And that's what's keeping the minimum temperatures elevated here at night. And with the pattern in place through the end of the month, those high relative humidities, high dew points are going to continue to be felt here coming up.
Anything when you look further out that we ought to think about at the end of the month?
At this time, the item to watch is that, which is, it's an unknown right now, but we have to watch the tropics and any Gulf of Mexico systems, which we're starting to see some hints that the Atlantic Basin is going to percolate again, and potential for systems developing and even moving into the Gulf of Mexico late this month and on into the early part of August. And so anytime you have a tropical system that can either add rainfall to the Midwest down the road, or it can actually take away rainfall as well, depending on the exact track and intensity of the system. So that's going to likely become a player in the pattern coming up by month's end.
Hey, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Risk Pulse from Chicago, Illinois. On this Monday, let's talk about the agricultural cash grain market with Greg Johnson. He's at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good Monday afternoon to you, Greg. Hope you're having a great day there at the Andersons.
Yes, good afternoon, Todd. We are having a good afternoon here.
Although I bet it's kind of quiet.
It is. It is. The markets are, at least the corn market's lower, and so that's shut off any farmer interest in selling. Soybeans are higher, but we've still got the most critical month ahead of us as far as filling is concerned with soybeans. So not much interest in selling either corn or beans today.
And wheat is sharply lower today, though it had a really good one day last week. What happened there and what's happened since in that marketplace?
I think we've just seen some profit taking. We've had a pretty nice run up in wheat. There was a couple of weeks where corn and beans were unchanged to lower. Wheat was higher. Wheat went all the way from 480 to 550 on the December contract. That's a 70-cent gain. So we're just seeing a little bit of a setback, about 20, 25 cents after that big run up. So I think we're just seeing we got to the price where farmers will sell wheat. And some farmers around here that haven't grown wheat for a long time are even interested in growing wheat at prices over $5.
The corn market last week essentially ignored the purchase that the Chinese made, though it was a record purchase, both for the Chinese and historically speaking as a one-time purchase by any country from the United States for corn. Is the corn market itself looking just at weather now and saying, hey, you know, this crop's in pretty good shape across the United States?
Yes, to some extent. I think weather can still play a role in the corn market here over the next 2 to 3 weeks. But the demand side of the equation is where we really need to see a pickup. And you mentioned the sales to China. But what we really need to see is pick up in ethanol and livestock feed demand. Those are our two biggest uses for corn. Exports are a distant number three. So, you know, while we need all three to fire on all cylinders, the two biggest ones are ethanol and livestock feed. And livestock feed is hanging in there, but ethanol usage, even though we've come back from where we were several months ago, we're still not back to where we were. And it's going to be hard to make up for those 2 months when ethanol plants were shut down. We're basically just going to have 10 months worth of ethanol demand instead of 12 months. And that's assuming that everything stays the way it is right now. So I think that's one reason why the corn market hasn't seen much more strength. And even while the beans are showing some strength, is there is demand for soybeans from China and other countries, whereas corn, even with the export demand, that's just not enough to offset the lack of demand in the ethanol market.
If there begins to be more demand for soybeans, will the corn market drag it down?
I'm hopeful that it's the other way around. I'm hopeful that the bean market will pull corn up a little bit. We get down to 330 on December corn futures, and it seems like that's where we've bounced the last couple of times. So I'm hopeful that once again, if the bean market continues to trade over $9, that maybe we can see corn get back up into that 345, 350 range. But it certainly feels like corn is stuck in a 330 to 350 range, and I just hope that we don't take out that 330 low and make new lows.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson from the Andersons. Helped us wrap up this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.